Welcome to Titanium number 21, recorded on September 1st, 2009, copyright 2009, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 5:59 Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening, good evening. For all the news that is news across the living nation, we're going to melt some titanium tonight. I expect it looks like as close to that as the titanium show will allow. We want to give our great deal of appreciation to Bob and to Carolyn, as always, as they all day, every day, spin their yarn into a directive position to help give those interested an insight or a clue regarding their potential realities.
And as Ion is saying that, you're listening to Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell, and Everything's Coming Up Roses with Ethel Merman. Do you have a chorus you could sing of any of those, or do you want to bring in The Last Resort?
Well, Last Resort's always good, but Everything's Coming Up Sunshine and Lollipops.
Ion, is there anything you want to get into before I bring up a topic? Anything of pressing? You did want to start the show early and get off the ground?
Well, we got to do a little activation. Here's how we're going to play tonight. We're going to take questions again. We will take directional questions, but we're going to limit the directional questions to Bob's on-topic scenario. And we're going to build from that dynamic so it becomes a more focused view to come to laudable conclusions that will have causal effect on individual realities. And this will be known or made manifest from people showing up in his other broadcast that he has from here and about all over the place, that it would be an eerie, uncanny effect for him to change his relation to is and to what could be. So we're going to take it from that flow, and we'll stay within the realm or the range.
All right, and I assume the topic is the alphabet and string theory and the thread and the linear thinking. What Carolyn said to me on the walk to the beach about what your session had been is this: the linear thread of the alphabet is how people see their lives, and they don't see the looping.
Whoa, okay. Okay,
so maybe I'll say it this way. Whatever Carolyn said to me about what your topic was, I thought, well, it's not the string of letters, it's the linearity itself that makes people think their lives are linear.
Yes, that was the only example, and we asked the question, who set the pecking order of the alphabet? Who set that in order, that it was A, B, C, D in that order? Why could it be A, B, J, K, C, D, F, A, G, B, D? Why couldn't it be that? Or with your texting mode, a lot of it is, OMG, what's the BFD?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those letters reorganize, take on a whole other meaning. So our question was, if, now this is the if humans see their spans of time, see their spanses, see their days on this planet in an orderly fashion, okay? If it starts from birth and ends at death, well, there is no death, but let's say that they're using that as their two-dimensional, flat on a piece of paper timeline or order of occurrence using to stack up their resident nouns, like the alphabet. Somebody put this in an order, and if we can only communicate with that vessel, then let's look at the proximity. allowing yourself to create via or vis-a-vis or by default. No new anything can come into your experience. Someone else has to lay it out for you. Because your is won't allow you outside of your is to embrace anything other than what is. And then we said, okay, if you look at the alphabet, you lay it out, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and go all the way through that. There are 26 of those. Now, some are consonants and some are vowels, and they fit in different places, and we don't know why. But we'll accept it. We won't push against it at all. It is. We'll accept that that alphabet string is. Nobody's redone it, or science hasn't disproved it. So, therefore, we'll embrace that it is. If you look at the difference, if you take this sentence or the phrase, what is, and you have I is in there, that's the I is, the IS is. If you could get rid of or look at what is and then move that S to the F, that's closer to the beginning, the alpha part, correct?
Right.
Then that sentence, instead of what is, now becomes what if. If is very different than is. If can be and not be. If has another outcome. What is, but what if may or may not be. And if you could embrace if, because we would have come back to say, would be what as, or as anything, or a, the beginning place of actually arriving, that would be what you'd call everything, that'd be what you call completion or manifestation. The A would be the alpha part that would allow it to seamlessly flow into your experience. Then you've arrived, okay? Then that would be the same place is that if your is, you were tickled to death, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, happy with. If your is suited you every way, completely, then we would say, that is, don't do anything. You're good. Stay right there. That's a good place to stay. If your is suiting you, don't do anything different than what you're doing right now, and you'll continue that is. That is will maintain itself in perpetuity. But if it is not, then and you can't get to everything or anything, or you can't change your is and say what everything, what anything, then, sometimes it's closer to get to S and make it an if to get you to closer to the A, which would be anything. And we only use that as a straight line on a piece of paper, two dimensions, because humans only embrace what they can see. That's what is.
That's changing the what is to what if. What about the linearity, the progressiveness of the alphabet? That creates an illusion of going from here to there.
Correct. It's the distance between you and you. It's the distance in your is now and the is that you want to be. Because people want, because people have, they have a goal, they have a dream, they have an idea, they have a concept, they have a thing that they want to embrace and they want to do, be, or have, correct?
Yes.
And that's a constant. They have sex, they've had sex, and sex is good, and sex was done, but as soon as they get about done, they're ready for more sex. Well, no, wait, we've already done sex. Sex is already in our experience, we have it. No. We want it again, 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 and then we want better. And then we want more intimacy, and then we want more closeness, and then we want more, when all we got was what we wanted to start with, and that's what is. That's how you can live with somebody for a very long time, and all of a sudden you don't bring me happiness anymore. Your is changed. Your expectation of your is different now based upon your is. But if you're happy in that is, stay right there. You're good. But if not, if not, then you can make that adjustable change even with that partner and change your new is into an is that is pleasing to you. Ta-da.
The alphabet and then the printing press spread the alphabet around the world. That made people think linearly. I don't see any fact other than that as a cause of social change. On the general level, I mean, people have their own universes and create their own realities, but in the general mass consciousness, it seems that the condition of the medium of communication that society uses determines the way the general mind thinks. Nowadays...
Now, whoa.
Well, the linearity aspect is the key point.
Okay, if you're going ahead, if you're going to use, that's right, because we brought it up as far as being who said it's in this order, and we accepted that it was, that that's how you can memorize the vowels and the consonants of the alphabet and sing your little song so you can remember it. We didn't say that that was right or wrong. We accepted that that's sort of the way it flows. Different languages are different. You go to Greek and you go to Hebrew, all of a sudden it's upside down and backwards.
But it's still linear, except you use your eye. Maybe that's the common fact. You use your eye. So the eye becomes the key medium of a sense of truth or fact.
But then if you take and mix up the words, I'm sure you've seen the little fun thing that goes around all over the place where every single word is misspelled, and you could read the sentence and it would make sense because your eye only sees the first and the last letter of the word.
Yeah.
And you can read it, and it's this big gobbled up mess, but yet you can look at it and you just read it and you can read the sentence and you go like, how could I get there from there? Every single word was misspelled, and yet my mind's eye could jumble it, sort it, and read the sentence and communicate even with every single word being misspelled.
And what about that? What's the significance of
that? How is that linear?
The linear is the movement along a single plane.
Okay, but if you're using that based on the A, B, C, D is in a certain order, and that different words are recognizable in a certain arranged order, then how can you communicate and mix up those letters to the point where it's almost like a crossword jumble and still be able to communicate it within your mind's linear progression of the orderly fashion that the organization, that the printing press, and that the whatever else you were talking about that set things up in this linear path of understanding. It's not understood, and yet the human creator can still understand it. So much so that the linear progression could then give meanings to words. And you play with us and we have great fun making up new words. They're just great fun because we figure if Google can have a different meaning than it did just not many moons ago, why in the world can't non-physical play with words and give them new attachable meanings that are? There's tons of new creations and happening and understandings that are linear, but they don't make any sense if you look at them from a linear standpoint of progressive, understandable, printing pressable places. And that's what you're talking about that changes. That's what's changing. The words don't have to mean that to get an understanding of their meaning.
I didn't follow any of that last 5 minutes. But
I understand. That's my point.
Yeah, well, I don't... Well,
how is it linear?
It isn't. It was speech. It's acoustic. You know, you said all this. I'd have to see the transcription to get the details of it. I'm saying that the I is the common factor.
Is that E-Y-E or capital I?
E-Y-E.
We just want to make it clear for the record.
Yeah. And then... today, you can have your computer going, and you're listening to something, you're typing an email, you're reading something else, multi-level going on.
That's allowed because of your chip body.
So that's not a book experience. It's an electronic experience or a digital experience. So the multi-activity going on the screen, the fact of that, it allows the mind to adopt tactile models more easily or ideas of other worlds. And it's not on a single plane like the alphabet and the writing phase was in the printed book. It's just single plane leads to time concepts in the dark ages from 1600 to 1900. And ever since the electric technology came in, we now can entertain multi-level, not just the linear time. That is the only known fact. The rest is just people making up stories and talking and yappering their personal universes. You get the distinction there?
Then the scientists are screwed.
Yeah, the scientists are wallowing around under literacy. That's McLuhan's point. You might want to bring in McLuhan. He said the foundation of science is literacy, and that's a gone dead medium. So that leaves science quite loose and fancy free and ready for it to be bought.
Uh-huh. Is that like sold a bill of goods?
Yeah.
Let's ask you some questions. What does Marshall McLuhan say about the orderly fashion that the alpha, Redding's been allowing out for a long time.
Right.
But you're talking about English.
No, I'm talking about ideograms, syllabaries, the runes, the original writing
very
things.
Very good.
Hieroglyphics, yeah. They were all particular to the cultures that invented them. There was no common standard. There was no way to translate one into another culture.
And many words don't make, just like the word we did in the earlier session, that was came from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, there was no translation for, but it was as close as they could get to it. So therefore, it was accepted as.
That's right. And the translation would alter the meaning, create a new meaning that the culture adopted that translated.
The same trouble that Thoth had with your tablets.
Yes. Okay, so he said, though, that when the phonetic alphabet came in, and that's the particular Greek alphabet that separated the vowels out from the consonants, up to that point, they were quite intertwined, and I don't know how you would say consonants dominated. The vowels were isolated, 600 B.C. approximately, and that isolation created an abstract effect, an abstract mental space. And because he had this streamlined writing system called the phonetic alphabet, Alexander the Great was able to go around and translate all the different cultures' hieroglyphics and
after Constantinople, right?
No, don't bring in that. Our history, which is erroneous, says that Alexander was 330 B.C. and Constantine is 600 years later. Okay, that may be wrong. Okay,
but it's okay.
Yeah, I just want to. So the important point McClellan said is that for the first time, one culture, the Greeks or the Macedonians, could translate all the local dialects of writing all over his area that he invaded, and put him into a standard assembly line. And that was a big standardizing, homogenizing effect, which was a radical transformation comparable to the transformation the Internet has brought in. Does Ion follow what I've said so far?
Yes. We asked the question because we don't think that that's exactly the best way to go about it, but we just didn't know how you got there from now. And we knew Marshall would have, your version of Marshall would have an open door canonical that allowed a basic understanding or beginning place to determine whether or not it's actually based on a false premise or not. And we didn't give any attention one way or the other because we've already established that we're okay that it is. You see, the alphabet goes in this order. Our question is in their orchestration of this aligning of the letters, and then the translations that made it translatable, and it gave King James a chance, and Lord, you don't.
Okay, no, hold on. No, fine. Let's go back. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me talk for a bit. Maybe I'll be just as incomprehensible. McClellan said it was the activation of the left hemisphere by the phonetic alphabet.
How did the phonetic alphabet come into place that this was the order that the left hemisphere had to embrace?
Well, no, you're mixing up the chicken and egg.
But that's the only reason that it came up is because it's not a bad thing, and we're okay with it. And we actually understand, and we're trying to just basically shove you into the revolving door a little bit to think about that if it is, why is it? Okay, and then you can even do empirical research regarding it to say, well, this is how it all evolved, and that's okay. Evolution is a grand way to embrace a concept or an idea. If that's the order, and somebody had to say one day that these shapes are going to be the letters, and they're going to flow in this order,
yeah.
Where did that begin?
I don't know. Maybe if I went and looked at some of my McClellan books, I'd find out, but I can't remember now. I think the order began with the brain. It began with the eye, and the eye favored that kind of order.
From a memory standpoint, that they could inflect this shape meant this.
You see, McLuhan's thesis is not necessarily true. It's just appropriate to point out the different media dynamics in 1950 when the new media world was coming in. So he had to take what scholars were saying about the alphabet and create a myth, what he called even the new science, to say this is that and the alphabet caused this effect. If you actually go into it in detail, it falls apart. You can't prove anything about anything. If you start asking questions and you've got rigorous questions, you will destroy any thought.
Well,
Okay. So the linearity, who knows where that began? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe the left hemisphere. What the hell is the left hemisphere? That can be riddled.
Okay. So fine. Now.
But if you're going to bring in the fact that the future, the Egyptians came and brought this from the future, that's something that McClellan didn't work with.
Easy.
I'm just making sure I get the sentence out.
No, say fine. Okay. The only reason that even comes up in conversation.
What comes up? We've talked about many different things. The only reason what comes up? The order of the alphabet. It's like McLuhan didn't get into those particulars.
I got to clarify what we're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
So now we get to finish that.
Yeah.
The reason that comes up is it becomes an unknown.
Yes.
And nobody knows. And so, therefore, that linear progression that is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, blah, 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 X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Okay. That linear progression is, and we've accepted that it is. We're okay with that. We're not pushing against anything. But the question now comes, if that linear progression that is in string theory becomes one-dimensional, taking a line and laying it on a piece of paper as this orderly fashion in which the line flows.
You're describing string theory? Is that what they do?
A bit, but we're just trying to get you to the place of asking the question, if this is, then if this changes, what does that do to the line that's well established, and even non-physical will give it to you that that's the order that it is? See, because we're not even against that. But see, you've already opened up the can of worms of this order, this orderly progression, this order doesn't necessarily have to be correct, but if it shows you the distance between these segments of formation of characters that form your flow of the alphabet, and it's all based on a false premise of they fell out of a box and this is the order they fell in, and
the separateness of the letters is the key point, McLuhan would say.
Very good. Separateness
creates fragmented visual space, which sets
Very
up
good.
The idea you're an individual and someone else is separate from you, and separateness is in yourself between you and you. That
and
was caused by the medium of the alphabet, of writing.
And the grouping and the spaces, it's not the letters, the grouping of the letters, it's the grouping of the spaces.
Yeah, the spaces are the factor.
Indeed. Okay, now if that's the case, very good, no problem, we're still cooking with gas here. If that's the case, then if you find out and science proves that the alphabet is actually inappropriately lined up, okay, they mixed it up and science proves it. They show me the science, and they show you indeed that it should not be in this order. It should be in this order, and that makes everything easier everywhere. Rewrite the textbook.
But then science would miss the point. They'd miss the fact they're separate. You see, the eye can distinguish things, but when you listen, the sound surrounds you. So that sensory fact of sound versus the way this eye experiences, and that probably could be defeated by any questioning and thinking, saying, well, the eye is independent of the ear. But on a surface level, the eye is different from the ear, and a speech-based society is a different social organization than an eye-based. And the medium of eye-ness is writing, and writing separates characters. So you get separate individuals who are equal before the law once the phonetic alphabet comes in Greek culture. But now, under electronic merger, converged singularity conditions, everybody's expendable, and they're just a mass of chemical bodies, and the anonymity of your own individual identity is the situation now, well, up till recently, and then Facebook came in and said, oh, no, you can have your own space. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Your own wallpaper, your own world, your own little matrix tube.
That's a lot different than just reading a flat space called a book and separated letters, which encourages separateness in thinking. That most general statement is the most useful statement for understanding why it's different now and the veil can be thinned as opposed to why it wasn't thinned under book condition. And those are very general statements. You could probably disprove them, but just looking at what McLuhan called the percepts, your physical environment and its communication media, gives you the inkling of a pattern that's reliable because that's all there is.
And that's perfectly fine. No contest. The issue is the changing of the one-dimensional flat line on the paper. If you could change that line, which you do, even though you don't embrace it, but you do, because if you get stuck on the straight line, it's very difficult to jump to another parallel world, another
dimension. Yeah, and doesn't string theory try to move it off the straight line?
It does. It draws many lines that the order, the orchestrated order is not preset or determined.
So McClellan would say that string theory, working with literacy and those I models, because science is built on literacy and writing, that now we're in a multidimensional media environment, the scientist occurs to play with the linear alphabet a little more flexibly and move it off the page and create multiple depth or something, like that book Flatland 100 years ago.
Yes, and okay. Even then you can come into a place where you can even blend certain vernaculars, where you can actually use a little French and use a little English and use a little Latin.
And then
Latin.
It begins to look like Finnegan's Wake.
And it does indeed, just that way. And then you come into a new dynamic to where you can have multi-meanings. And see, why would they have one word that means three different things? It's just the silliest thing. It just confuses, and yet it is.
Well, in pre-written societies, they would say a word, and they would include its opposite meaning as part of its meaning. That, you know, and for a literate person to go back and see primitive tribes, it's a world of buzzing confusion. But that's natural under pre-writing, pre-eye, acoustic, tactile conditions, you know.
And yet, till this day, even as soon as a few minutes ago, you still need clarification, even within the words, engaging in a topic of conversation that you have to embrace and go, now, what does that mean? Which that are you speaking of?
Did well, that's even, my cultural bias. I'm a literate person. A pre-literate person or a primitive may not care which way the sentence goes.
Gotcha. And then, for the record, it makes it very clear because it now becomes qualified. Qualifying.
When you bring in literacy, is what you're saying.
Yes, the qualification means this is what the reference is regarding.
Yes, McClellan used to talk about quality, not quantity, because he says media changed the qualifications of the size.
Correct. Yeah. Perfect words. Very good. Now, what would Marshall say? How would Marshall include or maybe preclude the distance between the new chemical body, which is changing, in relation to the new chip body, which is all-encompassing right this red-hot second. Now, we know that'll change because we know it didn't last very long because it was not. So many moons ago, there wasn't necessarily not a chip body, or if the chip body was, it wasn't recognized as such. What's the difference between those two as they are evolving into, well, it may be too far of words, but we'll try it and see if we can sneak it by you. As they develop and become more individual bodies with its own duality, with all the tactile means that are attached to the chemical body and the chip body, how then, or what would, or how would Marshall describe this evolutionary process that's moving the chip body to a new height and moving the chemical body to a new height? And does there come a place where those become one?
Well, McClellan didn't use the body metaphor. That's my post-McClellan,
Yes, but that was based on McClellan,
yes. Well, it's actually the opposite. McClellan's talked about vast media environments as add-ons to the chemical body. He did not talk about, he might have thought it, he did not talk about the shrinking of those massive radio, TV, computer, satellite environments into little accoutrements that sit in the palm of your hand. And it's the shrinking of those massive environments that I call bodies now. They're not medium, so to speak, if medium means a vast environment people are inside of. It is a little tiny apparatus like a ring or a nose ring or an earring that you add to yourself. Even though it's tiny, though, little earring that your body is a vast realm of experience that occupies someone's time and distracts from the concerns of the chemical body. Okay, so McLuhan did not talk about this. I developed it, and probably
right.
I get credit for improving McLuhan or adapting it to present.
Simply noted.
Yes, I have often meditated on how much the chemical body will merge with the chip body, with the TV body, and with the astral body, and how those will merge. And I say they have merged, because what's interesting is that as the chip body and the TV body shrink, then people think their chemical body is what's left over. But when you talk to another chemical body, they press a little button and they're not with you. They're engaged in the chip body, even though you can't see it. So we have not returned to the chemical body being dominant. The chemical body seems dominant because it's bigger than the other bodies, because it's just a little earring, the chip body. And so I say the actual merger is the mystery landscape we're in now. We have merged the four bodies. And it explains why Ion can show up now, while we have a mystery present in terms of the TV body, you have the mystery present, you have the mystery death of Michael Jackson, mystery cargo ships and planes. It's like the mix, the merging of the four bodies into the mystery landscape is where we're at now. And so there is no division between the chemical body, astral body, chip body, and TV body. For me, for Bob, in his advanced understanding of his own theory, but most people, just to contemplate the four bodies, are a couple steps back, trying to conceive how to juggle their chip body with their chemical body and their TV body. I get those kind of questions on my website all the time. They don't hear me saying, well, there's none to juggle. They've merged, and we've added two known aspects of the mystery landscape, mystery body one, the riff-riding parallel world, and mystery body two, the interaction with a foreign world, the foreign UFO, whatever, it comes and takes you someplace. Those two aspects of the mystery landscape, Ion has enumerated or has qualified. Now, when Carolyn gets a question, as she did on her blog today, someone says, well, you're talking about health for the elite that can afford it, and 99% of us don't have the opulence or leisure time to do that. And I told Carolyn, well, this person's idea of 99% of the world's poor, that only applies to the chemical body. That poor person and many poor people spend lots of time interacting with the TV aspect of their life and the chip aspect of their life. So everybody is equal on the chip body. There's no poverty in the chip body or TV body. Therefore, the term 99% chemical body poor is limited. And then it becomes a question of what your time is when you engage with the TV and chip body. And Carol has the same problem of finding time for her chip body as the poor person who claimed he didn't have enough time to exercise his chemical body.
That's correct, because rich people don't have time to sit and watch TV. They're busy.
Right.
Poor people have the luxury or the wealth of time to chase their favorite show.
You say some
they
people...
They really shot JR.
Yeah, you say some people have the time. Poor people on welfare have all the time to watch TV.
They have the luxury, and
yes,
they have their creature comforts met. They don't have to do a thing, and don't let that TV go off, and they give them a cell phone, and they make sure they have all access to everything. And so they're the rich ones. They don't have to be. They don't have to monitor.
That's right. Now, this is McLuhan. McLuhan began to point this out, that the media environments are relatively inexpensive for everybody. So the wealthy Howard Hughes is an isolated hotel.
He couldn't even go out in the street.
Yeah.
Enjoy the sunshine.
That's right. So, you see...
How rich is that?
That's right. He was a hotel recluse. So the thing is that you can use my four or five body model. I don't bring in the mystery body because that confuses people. Just use the four bodies, and Carolyn will maybe bring that in lightly to answer that person, that they're operating with 19th century concepts about the issue about who's wealthy and who's got the time.
Well,
but the advanced knowledge is the mystery body merging, and that's for Bob at the leading lab. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the chemical body did it first centuries ago, then the astral body, then the TV landscape affected people, hypnotized them, seduced them, then the chip landscape. Now we juggle all four, and in the juggling of that, we arrive at the mystery landscape. So probably neither of the four bodies has any hegemony or advantage over the others, but they all could be used in an environmental propagandistic movement, in the sense of A culture is a propaganda in action, quoting Jacques Ellul, E-L-L-U-L. But what would really surprise people, what would move people now is the unfolding of mystery aspects, mystery phenomena showing up.
Okay, then her final question, and she's trying to wrangle you here. I'm just giving you a little heads up here.
Yeah.
Which body then would embrace the papacy?
Well, obviously the astral body does and has. The TV body did. The popularity of John Paul II.
No, that's the Pope. Where she's talking about the papacy, the cardinals that come together.
Oh.
The papacy of the whole dynamic of her faith. They don't discriminate between the papacy and Christ. If it comes to the cardinals and the Pope says it, then that's the end. The Pope says, Pope is God. It says who's a saint and who's not. It passes that caliper of judgment.
The Pope does?
Yes, through the papacy.
Right, okay.
Because the Pope, you got to have miracles if you're going to go to sainthood. And that's what she's trying to figure out, is how you could, if you can, apply this concept that you're fitting and embrace it within the realm of her understanding of faith in a deity or Christ.
I'd say that it could not be communicated, that it is a personal experience.
Which body would the personal experience fall under?
The person would use, if they watch TV and they had it on a TV show, or if they got it through a computer message, or if they had it through a mystical experience, which would be the astral body, or a chemical body realization, like the view from a mountain or something, these spiritual experiences, these intense experiences could occur in any of the bodies, and it would not be uniformly applied which one would dominate for everybody. You know what I mean? Or would be successful. It's an individual choice. So I would say that as we move into this difficult, strange period of the mystery landscape, do not assume the traditional success ways of communication will continue to be successful. So improvise. So I would suggest that Anne develop new interesting ways to communicate with her faith.
Great. And that was the question. It's like, which body would be best to use?
I'd say use all of them and use them in new ways. It's only the leading edge perceives the merging of them. For most people, they're separate.
So therefore, in her world, everything would apply through the mystery body, which I can't explain it, and I don't have to, but it is.
She says that, or you say that?
He says
that. Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, she works in the mystery body. We call it the astral body, but the astral body is now affected by the other bodies.
She goes at it from the mystery of faith. Blind faith, from that dynamic that makes them faithful, you see.
Right,
and
we're not
pushing against that. We're okay with that.
Yeah, but
from our standpoint.
Yeah, I would add that what she's calling the mystery body would be traditionally the astral body archive. The astral body I define as the archive that there's more than this world, more than what the chemical body sees. But since the four bodies have mixed in and mixed it up and made it more complex, the image of the astral body in that level of mystery has moved to a newer level of mystery, therefore allowing more options of how to communicate the mystery traditionally, which was in the astral body archive.
And she says, okay.
Yes,
grassy.
What? Grassy? That's
grassy.
Thank you?
Grassy, yes.
Well, what's your welcome in Italian?
You just say grassy back.
Okay, grassy. Very good. So we'll meet you on the mystery path, Anne. Are you getting someone who's been waiting eagerly, Ion? One more?
Yes, but they're not exactly on point. It goes back to Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's
it. So we'll try this, and maybe it's on point, but we can't quite see it from there. Okay. This is from Judy. Judy's in Calgary, and she's listening and trying to wrap these body things because it's like way foreign, don't you know? Way foreign. But she is on three different drugs. And she loves her doctor. She's in relatively decent health. But basically what she's on is a blood pressure medicine. And she's on a diuretic, and she is on a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And her question is, would those have a negative effect from a medical standpoint regarding Bob's bodies? Is there a body that would be offended that she's having these three different drugs? And if so, which one? And if that's a problem, what do you do instead of taking those three drugs?
I would say that from my perspective, the chemical body would have, could have the side effects more than the others. And the alternative is to add some magnesium into what you're taking so that you can come to a point where you don't need the blood pressure medicine or the diuretic.
Well, she thinks the Coumadin is what's been the problem with everything because it just makes everything. It's, she didn't have to have the Thuromicide until she started the Coumadin.
Well, you know, I can't tell her to come off the Coumadin. I don't know why she's on it or any of that stuff.
Well, they tried Protonics, and it didn't have enough effect. Her blood, she calls it syrupy.
Well, if it's syrupy blood, then she has to look at ways of detoxifying her body to figure out why the blood is feeling it has to thicken up around her. There's got to be a reason for it.
The testing that's very limited had to do with platelets.
Mm-hmm.
She naturally is prone to producing more platelets, so her clotting factor was at less than 2.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what that is, if that's good or bad, but that's 2.
Well, there are things...
Almost immediately.
Yeah, there are things to be done for that. She could get in touch with me, and I could do a consult with her to work on that.
Which body would be affected if she were to make any changes?
The chemical body. I mean, the other bodies. The other bodies can be seduced into eating, you know, eating junk food and doing all those things because they don't have regard for the chemical body, but
right.
It ends
up... They're chemical, so the chemical body would like chemical food.
No, it's the physical body. Bob says chemical, but it's really the physical body.
The point is, whatever stresses and strains that cause this problem in her blood may have been caused by imagery in the TV of the chip, the social effects of that, the fact that there's nobody around to talk to anymore.
Ah, very good. And then the ones that you're talking to aren't listening anyway, and then if they do say something that's important, you're not hearing, and that's why she liked this concept that there was a larger dynamic and that there was someone medically able to answer the direction of the question, and she's appreciating this opportunity because she has had this ability to extrasensory hear since she was a little bitty girl. And it's been one of the few times that she's been able to openly be able to be recognized and activated in this particular venue. She's very appreciative.
We appreciate her appreciation. Very good. And we will end on that warm, cuddly note.
Very wonderful. And so, tune in, same bat time, same bat station, this time next week.
And we thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed, as always, as it's fun to continue.
And thank you for staying on the extra half hour that it took to get all your questions answered.
Well, you missed about 48 others, but
Well, now that we're becoming a question receiving show up next week, we'll take the questions on.
Yeah, and we like the focus of the. Now you're getting some raw. And some input, they're having these little hits on the thing, and here's what they like.
Wait a minute, what's rah-rah mean?
You know, when you applaud and cheer, and it's the end of the show, and Jack Parr's leaving the set. So they're having input, and here's the input. They like the... questions, they like the topics, they like the way that it's developed, and that they can freely, without beguilement, answer any question that they have. They do not understand some of the concepts that you are presenting, but they are open to it because the venue in which they're receiving them, they have a much easier way to embrace them. And if that means understanding the bodies to be able to do that, then good day. They like the flow. They want a larger format. They think that ION is very limited in the dimensions that are allowed to come through. Some folks are pissy because they didn't get their question answered. That's the short version.
So what would be a larger format?
I don't know. I mean,
a longer show?
I don't know that either. I don't know. It's just like little points, you know, like what you read in the TV guide or that somebody says about it. It's a great show. Or Siskel and Ebert says it sucked. It ain't worth your time. You know, go to the beach or whatever.
But they want ION to be more available or something.
Apparently, or more open to maybe a larger dynamic of topics. So more.
Okay, well, then that would mean that we would just start taking questions right away and not develop a theme.
Well, but that was the first thing that they really liked was the ability to have a focused conversation rather than imagery of black dahlias in Alabama. And this actually had a topic. It was topical.
Oh, they like the topic.
Like the topical, but they just want the topics to be more broad and be able to embrace larger elements.
I thought we do talk about broad topics. We talked about the L.A. earthquake.
Yeah, I understand, but it's just maybe like larger. I don't know.
We'll have them suggest topics then.
Open it up to make that available. And then the other part that they really, really, really like is the individual interaction with the crew.
The three of us interact.
Well, actually, they like Carolyn better than everybody.
Well, she's always good.
And I'm the least awake.
It's all right. But hey, oh, my stars, honey, it ain't quite your bedtime. You are right.
Well, Carolyn's always done well on the TV landscape and, you know, in the interactive landscape of talk shows. That's how she started in 1986.
The softness that she never goes at it barking.
So I tend to be Bob Barker.
Yeah, Bob Barker. So, right. Well, you have your position, and that's okay. And there's not a problem with that. But if theirs doesn't meet with it, then sometimes it can be an impasse where Carolyn always takes it to the lowest common denominator to empathetically understand what they're trying to say.
Glad that Carolyn's on the board.
She is indeed, and if that's good, then we're good. And there's another thing. They like the epicenter being in Hawaii.
You mean they like the images associated with it?
I don't have any clue. They like that the epicenter of this Melting Titanium show is in Hawaii.
But we like it too. We enjoy the benefits of it being the epicenter.
And they want to do a topic. There's been about three or four that caught us in this limited discussion of parallel things, worlds.
Yeah, they want more on that?
They want more on that because they're like, you've been dancing around it, but when are we going to get the skinny on that?
Okay, well, can we do that, ION? That's up to ION's sense of releasing information.
Well, we're good. It's up to you to embrace it, though. You know.
No, I'll embrace it.
Use your best gauge as to how far you want to go with that from a meme builder.
Well, we do have a CD out or mega upload called Riff Riding you can get.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
You can buy it from our website, howionic.com, howionic.com.
Very wonderful. And if there's any more, I don't know what it is.
I think we're all yawning now.
No, I'm not.
Very at least I'm not hiccuping. I was about to.
Yeah, we heard that.
Choke myself to death there because it was kind of bubbly. So then you're going to, is melting titanium feto complete? We're good.
Yeah, I'm going to turn
it. Okay, we are complete, or do we hang around? No,